Okay, we'll go ahead. This is the regular meeting, Communications and Technology Committee, October 1st. Move the agenda up for me, will you?
Gladly. There you go.
There we go. Item two is comments from the public. You can do that now or you can do that as we go along. Any comments right now?
Okay. I've got a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
This is a little off subject, but I've come to the conclusion that tomorrow's Finance Committee meeting has been canceled. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct, Richard. We're just, we posted the agenda a few minutes ago, and we'll post the packet in after the meetings this morning. It's a fairly common.
Okay. You are aware that that was supposed to be posted?
No, no, Richard. Hours? No. No, no, it's a special meeting. It's 24 hours notice.
And what makes it a special meeting?
We move the date.
You put special in front of it?
Anytime you move it off a special, anytime you move it off a standard date, it becomes a special meeting. And this is not the normal day that we have it.
Okay, if you say so.
No, the Brown Act says so, not me.
I don't think so.
Well, go look it up.
I did.
Okay. Send us a letter. Item three, monthly website and social media update.
That's me, my time to shine. Here we go. Here's our, first of all, I could only go to the 27th so that I could have the packet posted promptly. Our users and hits were down a little bit this month. And John, you asked last month about new users, and Michelle and I did a little research about this to find out if that's counted again in the all users, and Michelle's going to address that for us because she really looked into it deeply.
Okay.
Okay, well, John, what it is both new users and regular users are counted under users, but what we found out is that if you go on to the website from different devices, you're counted more than once. Because the user ID is per device, not per person.
Okay, right.
So if you go on with your work computer, your home computer, and your phone, you're counted three times.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Under users or under new users?
Because users counts for both. And then also for new users, if you go in and clear your history off your computer and then go and sign on again to the page, you're counted as a new user.
Okay, right, right.
Your ID.
Yeah, so if you just end a session and clear out your history, then next time you go on, it thinks you've never been there before.
Right.
Okay. All right, well, that explains it. Doesn't really give us what I would hope, you know, whether we were actually gaining steam or not,
but what we know for sure is that statistics are like bikinis. What they reveal is enticing, but what they conceal is vital. So there you go.
Okay. I can't argue that, I guess.
And again, this month, unlike our typical on our Facebook, on our website, how to pay my bill was our number one hit only by four. And last month it was a lot more. Normally employment opportunities is the number one thing that folks look at, followed by board meetings. So that's
right.
pretty standard for what we get. Their Facebook, we didn't have a super exciting Facebook month this month. We only had 66 page views, so people that actually clicked on our page was 262 post reaches. So folks who are a post came up on their feed. But again, we just had construction alerts really last month. So it wasn't like we had anything that was earth shattering like sometimes we do.
Right. And people, I think the construction alerts, I think they get them in other places too, because we've done a better job of social media and posting them out there. Paul gets them out there now. I see them in other places. So that's fine. That's
copying
that's
it
good
and sharing
news.
It to another website.
Okie doke, move on.
Okay. Item number four, come on, baby. Item number four.
The quarterly update of outreach and technology projects.
This is mine, and as the memo says, back in August of last year, Director Butler wanted us to begin tracking in spreadsheet format the various projects going on with technology related and outreach related programs. So this is the next quarter in line, and we've also dovetailed the field operations initiatives into the same report. So if you go down, Amelia, we kind of talk about this. If you'll stop right there. So as you can see, we're listing in this spreadsheet, John and Linda, projects that were, you know, once high priorities, but were completed now, you know, up to 3 years ago. So rather than, I just want to ask you, do you want to put a cutoff on how far back you want us to be reporting these items? If you scroll down, Amelia, you can see that, let's just say number 14, public Wi-Fi at the admin building, that was completed in the fall of 17.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's old news. The server upgrade, however, that we did last in the fall of 2019 is a critical issue because it shows that we're keeping up our network infrastructure. And the two above that, changing our network domain name from Autocracy to Domain, RMCSD Domain, is a visible place for the district to be, you know, realistic about things like what we call our network. And then our cloud-based backup system is good security, but going back to 17, going back to 18, I just want to get your feedback on how current you want us to show our completed projects.
You know, my suggestion, Tom, would be like a rolling 12 months.
Okay, I like that.
And of course, if it's over 12 months and it's not completed, then we just leave it on.
Correct, and that's, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, that's fine with me if it's okay with Linda.
Yes, it's fine. Very good.
If you go down, I want to point out a couple items. Number 17, Amelia. So document imaging escrow files. So this began as a document imaging system, EDMS, Electronic Document Management System, in 2017. And we're about halfway through. Graham, the intern who passed away recently, he probably got us a quarter of those files, but he probably got a few hundred of them in the short time he was here. We have about 1,500 more escrow files to put into electronic document management, and I believe we can get there in the next 2 years. It's unless we hire a dedicated person to do it full time, but we're going to continue shuffling through interns to try to help people get job experience, and we scan them as the new files come in. So anything new, and any updates to scan files are scanned. So that's an important thing for the district because we have files and files of paper copies of old escrow files that, you know, they're more secure in the digital world.
Right. If it makes any sense, if we have a document that hasn't been scanned, I don't want to hire somebody to just roll through this. I don't think that's necessary, but if in the regular course of doing business, we start working with a document, maybe we ought to have some understanding that it gets scanned in.
And we have that. Our front office person, Liz, whenever she has time, she'll grab a file, or whenever a new file comes in or an existing file comes in, she'll take it apart, she'll label it correctly, and she scans it into the system. So on a flow basis, we are always adding them. They're just not a whole lot. If you have somebody dedicated like Graham was, he could go through 8 to 15 files in a day.
Right.
And that's good. And some of the files are really big. Some of the files in unit one and unit two are super thick because the homes have been sold multiple times. And then, you know, the ones in the gardens are super small because the gardens too, because they just got bought for the first time.
Yeah. Is there, just as a side note, and Graham was doing this, we're going to still remain active with our intern program?
Absolutely.
So would this be something as that moves forward, as we get a new intern, we pick up on this and start scanning again?
Yeah, we, oh, absolutely. As soon as we get them in here, they do, we teach them how to do the scanning, then we teach them how to do other things. The plan with Graham was to you know, start giving him training in the water district, in the water process. And that was one of his goals, and he was getting certified, and we were getting ready to schedule him to split his time between the office and field operations when he started, when his cancer started coming back.
So that's okay. But yeah, that seems logical. And I don't know what, from a standpoint of an intern, what time of year does this stuff start and stop, or do we get involved, or is it just a rolling thing?
It, you know, we've kind of based it off the UOP program to begin with, and Grant, you know, coming from Folsom College, but the colleges tend to have twice a year recruitments. And of course, COVID has turned everything, you know, to a quick halt. Now that the colleges are starting to gear up again, I'm going to work with Paul and Tanya on putting together a recruitment, and then maybe we'll focus on Folsom College because that seemed to be a good result for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Paul. So I'll try to get back on that. So yeah, we do have the recruitment from the last time we went to Graham. So through the Los Rios Community College system, of which Folsom Lake College is a part of, they do have the water and wastewater technology program there, in which our staff has actually taught in the past. And so that's how we became aware of the internship program there. And so we can get back on that. And they have a jobs board that you would post that on, and they have a coordinator that kind of handles all that stuff through a login. So it's just, with everything going on, we just hadn't gotten back to that. So
yeah, and that's understandable. The one thing I was thinking about, maybe, and again, you know, everybody's running in 10 different directions here, but if we have that intern program, and I think the board to this point has indicated that they were interested in doing that, if that's an internship that we have a job description built around, or it has the potential of doing like we were going to do with Graham, to expand that that course of study into an actual practical application, you know, in terms of what he wanted to do in terms of water. Maybe there's a way, if we've developed that and we know what it is, why don't we think about naming it after him?
Hmm. I like that idea.
So do I. So, okay.
Here in the conference room too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, in as we do this, I mean, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's a real big deal. We're doing it anyway, and now it's just called an internship. Maybe we can do something with that.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll come back with our suggestion next month.
Okay, cool. All right. Next and then, case,
we may, you know, the board meeting's 2.5 weeks away. We may have something together by then.
Okay.
It's almost 3 weeks away. The other thing I want to point out is number 18, the patrol management cloud-based software. That's fully operational. We're using that. We're getting better data out of our patrol activities, including our GPS is working well. So we can see where our officers are at any given time. We're working on being able to compile data out of there, and maybe it gives some reporting capabilities on activities and such. And then 19, our SharePoint site has been completed. We're doing training, we're doing some tailoring for it, but we focused on that during 2019, and I'm happy to say that over the past few months, we've called it good. That contract is closed with WeCyber. And then we'll talk a little bit about them later on today in this meeting. And let's keep going down to what else we want to point out. So the issue with the maintenance management, number 22, we kind of had an idea of a direction we were going to go last year, and it late in the year, it just didn't pan out. And so Paul and I talked, and he wants to take a little bit better look at the system we've been using, which is basically a free system. And we just, there's possibly a chance we can maybe upgrade our subscription with them and get a better suite of services and functionality. Or we may come back next year and request funding to do another replacement. But Paul and I are working together on seeing the best way to do the maintenance management and the work order system. And a large part of that is because it includes the asset management system. And the asset management system is key to the reserve study that we need to do.
Right.
So we need to get our assets in order. We need to have very good accounting of them. So when we are going through a reserve process, we can be very accurate. A lot of the assets we have in the system have long been retired and are no longer viable. So it just needs some cleanup, just pretty standard. And then we had yes, go ahead.
Hi, it's Linda. And maybe Paul, you can answer this question. A while ago, probably a year ago at least, we talked about managing projects and using this format to figure out what projects we were working on and how we notified the community. For instance, one of the things we talked about was replacement of water meters, and that the community who ends up being involved in that needs to have some communication from us about when they were doing it, when they were coming. And there were two parts to it. One was old and needed to be replaced immediately, water meters, and then others were sort of cyclical. Have we done anything with that? Has that, I see a lot of technology stuff, but I don't see any maintenance management, I would say, as it relates to that.
So this is Paul. We continue to do it in our somewhat archaic method of spreadsheet tracking.
Okay.
Well, as when we do the work, we submit service orders on paper to the administration department that then updates it in their utility software system. I forget which one it's called on the admin side. It's like Utility Star.
Great. It's Platinum. Utility Star Platinum.
Utility Star Platinum. So that's where it's tracked as well for each individual account. But as it relates to like a maintenance management system doing that, we don't have anything in place, and the existing system we have can't do that. It's basically, the system we have in place is basically like just a powerful spreadsheet. But what we were looking at, and like Tom said, you know, we can do some upgrades to it that can make it somewhat modernized, but not to the extent of like a large city would have. If you go to one of those large city type systems, those are $100,000 plus systems, and then you need practically like a full-time staff member to manage it and be trained up on actually how to use it. So we're trying to find something that fits our bill for our community and our rate base. And so we're still working on that, but it's still being done. I mean, the work's getting done. We do old-fashioned reach out to the community by tagging doors when we're going to be doing work, tagging and knocking on doors before we shut off any water. So, but nothing fancy at this point.
I understand that. I'm not even interested in fancy. I'm interested in letting the community know when something is being done at their place. And I'm not talking about tagging doors. That is fairly ineffectual. what we talked about was sending out a letter when you knew when different areas were going to be receiving attention for whatever. In the case that we were talking about, it was the water meters. Have we done anything like that? Have we sent out a letter? Have we called people?
No, we have not. I'll have to talk, maybe have like a memo written up to explain how it's done. Currently, we have an operations procedure in place to to try to keep this brief, we get a certain amount of meter failures every month when we do our meter reading, and that comes from the billing system somehow. And so we get a list, and then we go out and physically inspect those meters that aren't reading correctly, see if they can be rehabbed or replaced. And if we need to replace them, then that's where we, you know, knock on the door, see if anybody's there, you know, tag them if we got to dig anything out, to give them a heads up on us doing that. But to go back and write a letter and say on this date at this time, we can do this. We just.
Oh, I need to interrupt you. Yeah. We already talked about this, and we separated.
Is the short answer, because it's not practical for our staff. We just don't have the bandwidth to do that type of.
I thought we had agreed that emergency or immediate attention, things like a broken water meter or a water meter that wasn't registering, et cetera, that we would at least try to call the people and tell them what we were doing. But there was also a part of the process that involved a regular maintenance kind of thing with water meters, and that people should have a chance to respond or understand that somebody's coming to their house and they're going to fix something or they're going to change something. And at the time we talked about this, I didn't get any feedback from anybody that we couldn't send out a letter since it was regular maintenance and not emergency maintenance.
Okay, yeah, as it relates to something like that where we do like a wholesale meter replacement in certain areas, that is possible. You know, it does take a special mailing to do that, and some minor costs incurred for it. But yes, that is possible. We just haven't gotten to any projects like that. We've been too busy with others.
Linda, we'll come up with a better answer for you. I think Paul's suggestion that maybe we start focusing on different sections of the district.
Mm-hmm.
We could say we're going to go through, and is it called Unit 1 and Unit 2 and Unit 3? Is that
yeah, the name? There's various units of development throughout the community. So in those older units, obviously have the older meters in them. For example, like, you know, you got the Village, Unit 1, etc. As far as like age, but I'll have in place for if and when we start moving forward on that.
And we can talk about that, Linda, as a section in the pipeline, and just we can have a water meter replacement corner, and just say the district is focusing on units 4 and 5 for the next month or the next quarter. Does that go a little bit in the direction you're looking for, Linda?
Yeah, a little bit. People have to know what unit they live in.
I'm sorry. Do you want to use the reverse 911 system to call people? Or how do you want us to call people with these type of things?
No, that's not necessary. I don't know. Do you have 10? Do you have 50, you know, emergency replacement things? I think that... when you're working on that, at least a phone call ahead of time that you're going to be there. And if it's the next day, then it's the next day. But and this is an example is what because we've talked about this in the past, and I thought we had decided that we would try to separate the two situations out. One's different than the other, and that we would at least try and give people that we were going to do something to immediately a phone call. And then the people who we had on a list for regular maintenance, of, it can be anything, drainage around their house, you know, whatever. Some way of letting people know that we're going to be there and we may do something that they don't have anything to say about.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I would like to work with you on this to make sure we do exactly what it is you're requesting. And I would suggest that you come with us on a meter replacement. So you can see what takes place.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay. That's a good, that's a step in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
I want, Amelia, can you go down to number 25? The number 25 is something we've talked about, but it's a very difficult project, but our online billing system that we currently use is called Paymentus, and it is only slightly connected to our finance, our utility billing system. It basically shares data back and forth, but there's no interaction for the customer. The customer can go online to Paymentus and see their bills or how much they owe. But what we have is an upgrade, and we have a web-based system, and I've shown it to you before, Linda, but it involves us migrating from utilizing Paymentus for credit card payments to another credit card payment company, because there's only a handful that integrate with Platinum. So I've worked with Tanya. We've made it kind of a strategic project for her to figure out how to get us from totally using Paymentus to maybe use an alternative system that allows her to be an interactive website where people can log in, see their water use for the past 12 months, make sure their bills are being paid. They can put information in there like their email address, their phone numbers, and we can start doing a little bit more interactive contact with our customers. But it's like turning a big ship with a little bitty tugboat. It just takes a long time to get people to, you know, at some point change from this credit card company to this credit card, not different credit cards, but payment systems. And Tanya and I talked about it, and we've just, as part of her kind of getting a feel for her job, this is going to be a big benefit to the community that comes out of that part of the office. So I just wanted to talk about that. We need some time to work with what company we want to work with and our payment, our utility billing system. But hopefully by this time next week, a lot of our customers, if not a whole bunch, we'll be able to log into a web-based system, look at their water usage, look at their bill payment process, update their personal information if they want to get notifications over that system, not, and sort of more of a community forum for water usage. And you know, it just kind of helps us to be better managers of our water system and our payment system. So I kind of wanted to point that out. Do you have any questions?
Sounds good.
Okay, and then if you go down to like 27 and 28, those are projects we completed. The cloud-based system, the HR payroll system, and then the cybersecurity. I'm going to talk about that as a separate item later on in this meeting. So, other than that, there's then you can go down to Paul's question. Paul's little
Wait.
Part of the spreadsheet here. We did have some redundancy. Go down a little bit more, Amelia, please. We did have some redundancies where Paul was reporting the same thing we were reporting above. So we took those out of Paul's and focused strictly on the operation stuff. So is there anything you want to point out here, Paul?
Not really. We're just still working on the hypochlorite project, which is part of the centralizing SCADA. I'll be taking some items forward the next month or so to continue on with that project and get us moving towards the future with a district-wide SCADA system, building it up from the wastewater facility. So I gotta do a lot of memo writing and explanations to let the board know and the community know exactly what it is we're doing and what the goal is. So we'll be working hard on that.
Tom and Paul, number 26. When we talked about tracking and customer information, what's the word? I can't think of it.
Customer management system.
Yeah. But notifying customers about what's happening, you know, when people show up at their house, et cetera. Mark Martin was the general manager at that point, and he was looking at some kind of fancy system to make that happen. I'm not sure we need that. You know, I'm not sure there are that many things that we have to notify our customers about, but I think having a process for doing it when we do have to notify them about whatever is going on in their around their homes or their property, just having some system, it doesn't have to be a big technological unless that seems to work better, process. So I would say that customer management system may or may not be something that we want to continue with.
I would be more than happy to pull that off this list. Those are common systems that require, just like Paul talked about, the maintenance management system. It has to, you have to have dedicated staff to that.
Right.
And you know what? We can just pick up the phone if we need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know, Tom, John, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
But using, I don't want to feel like we aren't going to put something in place for times when we do have to notify people. It doesn't have to be major technology as far as I'm concerned, but just some process.
Well, I think there's you kind of have to separate that into, you know, critical notification or red alert, if you want to call it that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or standard stuff. You know, as we, you know, and I think taking this list down to 12 months rolling will help us because, mm-hmm. I mean, it, like everything else in the world that we do here, we kind of need to prioritize the list. And, you know, there's a lot on here. We're trying to do a lot of things at the same time. And, you know, some of it just needs to go to the bottom of the list. I mean, just from the standpoint of reality and manpower and everything else.
Okay.
And I do have one hand raised if you're ready for public comment, Mr. Merchant.
Yeah, that, go ahead. I see it.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that your job to do that, Amelia, or my job? I see the hand. Does everybody see the hand or what?
We all see the hand, but I didn't know that you were, you know, focusing on that too, so.
No, I'm not focusing on it. I'm asking if I'm supposed to be.
I will always remind you if you don't bring it up. How's that?
Okay. Go ahead.
Are you fighting over me?
No, not a chance, Richard.
Okay. I just want to comment on the notification of customers. You know, I kind of think that's overdoing it. I mean, as a customer, you don't need to notify me. You know, that's life, you know. Water workers come around and do their work and they leave. And, you know, I think these people have enough work to do without, you know, coming up with other stuff. So,
yeah, you know. I agree. And I think it's been supplemented very well lately because Paul has picked up, I don't even know how long, but at least over the last year, even on social media, we're really, I think, getting the message out when he has to close the street or he's going to do some major work on a street. That's important because people use those streets and go to work and do all those things.
That is the flip side of the coin too, is that you get a lot of people. I mean, literally, like, it's kind of 50% that, why are you bothering me with this information? Just do it and get out of my yard, you know?
Yeah. And the guys, I mean, I've had it. I have a, you know, there's a clean out that goes between my house and the house next door, and they're good about it. I mean, they come up if they're going to do work, they come up, knock on the door, or, you know, and it's like Richard said, I agree. It's not really a big thing.
You know, even with the closing the streets, I can live with that. I mean, I've dealt with that many times. You come down, the street's closed, and you go do whatever you have to do, so whatever.
Unlike Scott Road, where they make you drive like 6 miles before you find out the street is closed.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, are we cool there, Linda?
No.
Tom, you got any more on the list?
We can take that up another time.
Tom?
Pardon me?
I was going to say, Tom, or is there more to do with the list, or should we move on?
We're waiting to play it.
Amelia, then I guess we move up to the next item. Discuss the pipeline.
I believe Linda's going to talk about this one for us.
I am. Although Amelia has been, and I have been working on this together, and she's been unbelievably fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
the pipeline has always been one of our major sources of getting information to the community. And so we decided to go to work on it and use a somewhat of a template format from now on so that we don't, so that people understand what they're going to be reading when they get it, for one thing, and also so that we don't miss anything that we could be talking about and communicating to the community. So on the first page from now on, it is a somewhat still a work in progress, but I think we've reached a point where we feel pretty comfortable with it. But on page one, important and new information, continuing information, for instance, on COVID-19 or COVID type of information, up to date on info on specific issues that RMCSD is working on this week, or this month, excuse me. We've got a big front page article on the Laguna Joaquin, and any alerts that need to be known to the community. Basically information that is important and imperative right now. On page two, the first half is going to be the general manager's corner, and the general manager gets to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. Right, Tom?
Yes, I like that.
And then on the bottom half of that, a report on the committee meetings, a little bit more in depth than we've had in the past, but not crazy. What's going on in each of the committees and what the board meeting highlights were. That looked great, by the way.
Thank you.
On page three on the top, development. And we're going to try to keep it down to the four things that are going on right now: Riverview Residences, Rancho Murrieta North, and Murrieta Gardens. And if there's no change or if there's nothing happening, then we'll just make a comment about that. On the bottom of page three, I would like us to, well, what we did, talk about sprinklers and adjusting sprinklers and water usage. But also I think that most people in this community don't know that we're in 2020 as the state of riparian rights. And we are, Paul especially, has been working on this like crazy. And I don't know that we've done a very good job communicating exactly what is happening with riparian water rights, because this is the year that we're supposed to be doing it. So I'm hoping we can get some information in there, real basic, you know, we don't have to get into what happened in the 1800s, but basically just make sure that people understand that our riparian rights are being looked at by the state, and that it's our job to give them certain information. Right, Paul? Paul?
Correct. Yeah, I had to unmute myself. Sorry. Yep.
Okay, that's all right. So then on page four at the top is a new thing that I hope is going to be helpful, called Living in a Private Community. This week this month we focused on something that is a big deal in Rancho Murrieta on a regular basis, and that's following the laws and the rules of the community. Why we have them, what we focused on this month was why we have them, how is Rancho Murrieta governed, etc. So I hope you'll take a look at that. And I hope that we can continue to put in whatever the topic is under living in a private community. I hope we can continue to take some of the rules and laws of the community and continue to make people aware of the need for them to abide by them, like the 25 mile an hour speed limit. And then on the last part of the fourth page, we call it commercials, but any information that we want to pass on to the community that we haven't touched on yet.
And I usually, somewhere in the pipeline, it sounds like it's going to be on the fourth page from now on, have a little blurb from our partners at Cal Waste,
right,
to talk about, like next month, I think in November, we'll have another green waste where you can put your green waste out. So it's something from them that's helping us recycle right, or so they write that for me, and I just kind of brush it up a little.
Has anybody had a chance to look at the pipeline for this month?
I read
which
it.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But I had one idea, which is just what it is an idea. When I was on our website, there are, Amelia has now maybe like 8 categories of things. There's a little blurb about Laguna Joaquin, and there is the cow waste and all the other ones that are there. It might be a little square in the pipeline that says that there is currently information on our website about these items, and you could like list the 8 of them or so that are up there, and that might drive traffic to it.
I think that's a great idea, John.
My old boss used to tell me that I proved to him every day anyone could be in marketing. Okay.
I have a comment about that.
Go ahead.
I read it, and one of the things that, you know, I observe every month is that it seems to be very, very RMA oriented, and some of the things that you say just aren't true from my perspective in the village, and that I wish you would keep that in mind. Like, for instance, here you say, Rancho Murrieta Security is responsible for providing enforcement and an education to the community as it relates to our CCRs. Well, living in the village, that isn't true. And, you know, there's other things. Like, how many times have we been told that we have to register our guests? You know, we don't have to register our guests. So, I mean, just keep in mind that when you're writing something, ask yourself, you know, is this true for the village or Murrieta Gardens too? Because, you know, it kind of reinforces the impression that we don't count.
It says living in a private community. That was the topic.
Yes. And under that, it says that security is responsible for providing enforcement for our CCNRs. That's not true in the village.
One of the things I think I get what Richard's saying, and I kind of agree with it. And I don't know specifically, you know, in terms of creating the pipeline or formatting the pipeline, how you more effectively deal with that. But I think you could, and you could do. Maybe in every other issue, or maybe parallel in the same issue, you could do or think about doing some type of focus. There's also, you know, which we have not yet heard from anyone, I don't think, at least I haven't. There's also another 79 houses, you know, on the other side of the hotel that are now part of the district. So, you know, I think it's something we should probably keep in mind when we do these things. And that is true. And there might even be some feature or thing we want to address with the commercial areas who will occupy a tremendous amount of space and are in an ever increasing number, whether they're retailers or commercial entities or storage or any of those things. So as we go forward, as that part of the community grows, and it will grow if the retreats expands out where they're not specifically members of the Rancho Murrieta Association, but members of Rancho North, I think it's time to at least consider on how we balance that and how we present our information. Just my comment.
Well, the things that I've seen, most of them have been pretty easy to just include a clause that applies to RMA only. Or, you know, most of them, you know, something simple like that would have done the trick. And specifically in this one, there's one little thing I'd like to mention. Down bottom, it includes a website for RMA. It would have been nice if you had said parenthetically that this is available only to RMA members, because you go, I mean, I saw that and I went there and said, you know, welcome to Rancho Murrieta, and it has a tab for residents. But then I find out, hey, I'm not welcome there. So if it had said that RMA residents only, that would have been nice. And
no, I agree. It's something, at least going forward, you know, as we look at structurally, if we add information or think about making changes, it's a valid point. Anything else pipeline wise, Linda?
Nope.
Tom, I'm not going near this thing.
Okay, number six. Over the past few months, you've talked and others have talked about the security of our data. You may not have noticed, but about a year ago, the city of Galt received a cyber attack that really dismantled and disabled their functionality for quite a while. Cost them a lot of money, and they had to rebuild a lot of systems. And as the hackers get through the big old companies, they're starting to look at smaller companies and smaller agencies. So we just need to get ready and be prepared. The We Cyber company, who we utilize to build our SharePoint site, and they're currently maintaining it and training, you know, continuing the training and tutoring, their specialty is cybersecurity. It's a company that has roots in Rockland, and now the company is based out of Boise. And I've worked with the owner before, and so she has she's formed a really good collaborative relationship with Leap Ahead IT, our management service provider, who's been providing our IT services for probably 8 to 10 years. And their specialty is not cybersecurity. Their specialty is maintaining networks and making sure our files are safe and secure, but not to combat the complexities of cybersecurity. So we entered into an agreement to where We Cyber works with Leap Ahead IT. And they kind of tell, they don't kind of, they do tell Leap Ahead IT what measures they want in place, what monitoring they want in place, what reporting they want to follow. And when I say monitoring, they're constantly watching the traffic that's trying to hit our network and get into our systems, including our finance and our utility billing, and even as far as the water plant. So we have to protect those systems, and we need to have a very high level of security. So that is what we've done. And I have a great amount of confidence that we're in a far better position today than we were a year ago when it comes to protecting the district from a cyber attack. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, going to be an ongoing thing. And I think we're in a more secure place for it. So this is just me informing the communications committee.
Good. I think I know we've talked about this in the past, and I'm really glad that we're being proactive in this area. Is there anything more? So you're comfortable, Tom, in terms of treating this as if it were a cyber audit? Is that in essence what we're getting here?
It's an ongoing monitoring system. Yes, it's ongoing.
Okay.
It's. I think we're taking a big step forward. And Sean with the Leap Ahead IT, while he dabbles in the cybersecurity, the level that that We Cyber handles it is at the doctorate level. And he said he told me that this is an interesting relationship, and that other customers that he works with are, he's going to promote the fact that this is something that might work. This hybrid. Being able, because we're a small company when it comes to our cyber footprint. But like I said, as the hackers are out there, they're done with the cities of San Francisco as they're starting to hit the city of Galt. Pretty soon they're going to start looking at those guys and start coming to the social districts. And just in front of it. And I'm very confident that we're having said, I hope none of the hackers are listening right now.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, no, I had something just jump all over my audio, and it might have been local. I'm not even sure.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You want me to repeat what I said, or did you get the gist of it?
No, I got it. Yeah, I got it. It was, but in the middle of it, it started to garble up, and I just wasn't sure if it was everybody or just me. Okay. Item seven, communication strategies concerning Laguna Joaquin. You want to start, Tom or Paul?
Well, we have said a lot about Laguna Joaquin lately, and I believe Linda is on my list. Linda is going to talk about this, and if she's not, I'm more than happy to. Linda, are you prepared?
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say. I just wanted to reiterate or talk about the fact that the Improvements Committee is going to be meeting next week, and there's been a lot of work done on this issue in a very short period of time. And I was, you know, very happy with what we put in the pipeline regarding Laguna Joaquin. But I want to kind of get ahead of it in terms of what we come up with to present to the community and make sure that everybody has an opportunity to see this and see the choices that we are looking at or the options that we are looking at. So I didn't know, I didn't want to, I guess we'll be talking about it again at the general meeting after the Improvements Committee looks at this, and perhaps that's the best way to, I don't know, I just feel like we need to be prepared to do something quickly to tell the community where we are and what we're doing, and if we make a decision about how we're going to handle the issues with Laguna Joaquin, we may need to do something special or separate. It's just a thought.
Hey, Tom, part of that, I was thinking about that. I listened to that RMA thing, meeting last night in between my internet disappearing. And when they were addressing the issue, and I'm not advocating anything here, but I was listening to the issue where we were discussing, you know, the possibility of putting the mosquito fish in, but we have game fish in there, and we can't really do one without the other. In other words, eliminating the game fish. And I was wondering, after I listened to that, suppose, and again, this is hypothetical, suppose that was a course of action we chose to take. How do we communicate that? Or what is it we would do prior to making that decision? Because where I'm kind of going with this is I think, and in some respects, it tracks the same line as the security issues, in that we're trying to arrive at a solution, and we're trying to path a logical progression to get to it. So what is it? Is it like, and I know Marty's listening, is this an improvements kind of an issue that somebody, just like we're trying to do with security, somebody comes up with a plan? Is that where we're going here?
May I jump in? This is Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
So Tom had me put a RFP together, a request for proposal for environmental consulting services, to outline all these questions and provide potential solutions with costs for those solutions going forward. And so that is out to bid right now, as just a idea of potentially moving forward on. So, and the bids should be coming due next week. And once we get that information, we can take that forward to see what it would cost to move forward on it. But that's the intent, is to kind of put this to rest, hopefully, and find solutions and move forward on them for the benefit of the entire community, so we can not have to deal with this every summer.
Yeah. In
perpetuity. So we're working towards it, and we'll be taking the information we get forward for all the board to look at and review, and go from there.
That's encouraging. One of the things I'm concerned with in, as it relates to what we're talking about in this meeting, is with both of these entities, I'm trying to ensure that as we move through the process, that we provide absolutely as much visibility to the public, to the ratepayers and stakeholders, even more from a security side, as we possibly can. And both of them are extremely complicated problems. Paul's is much more science oriented than the security, perhaps. But I guess that then really would start with that consultant's report, and we would evaluate that and then build from there. But even as we do that, I want to make sure that in the steps along the way, we get a consultant report back that, you know, even that's step one, that, you know, hey, the public knows that's, we got it back and we're evaluating it. And I wouldn't hesitate to make that information available. It's legally available anyway. So I think the more we can put out in front of these issues, the better off in the long term that we are.
Yep. John, I'd like to comment on that. I want to first ask Paul a question. Have you received any inquiries from any firms? That RFP has been posted for about 2.5 weeks by now.
I received, it's been posted, and I believe Amelia also put it on the CSDA RFP website as well. Is that correct, Amelia?
Yep, that is correct.
And I've directly sent it to some local environmental firms. One of them confirmed they received it. And then I received an email from somebody who would potentially be a sub-consultant to actually do work in the future. But other than that, no, I haven't directly received anything.
Okay, so what I want to say is, Laguna Joaquin, as far as we can tell, and we're paying attention, is fairly unique, much like so much that goes on out here at Rancho Murrieta, in that we have a detention basin, much like the one that Paul sent pictures of in Folsom, that has homes and walkways right next to it. So in the normal situation, Laguna Joaquin would be there and the Mitch flies would flourish and they would die before they got, you know, 50 yards away from the edge of the river, but there's no houses there, the edge of the shore, but there's no houses there. Or it would be like the ponds we have out back where we just flood them with mosquito fish and we have no problems. The problem with Laguna Joaquin is it's being advertised as a lake that is a reservoir that has fish in it so people can fish, when it's not. It's just it's a detention basin that happens to have homes and walkways and lawn right around it. So you can't have both ways. You can't have this beautiful lake and game fish in it that is also a detention basin that flourishes the breeding of insects like midge flies and gnats. So the community needs to know that if they want this fixed, it's either accept the midge flies or do some drastic changes to the basin. What we can do, what we're talking about doing, what we're going to talk about is trying to flush it a bit, trying to run some clean water through it to get the stale, dirty water out. But that could be a nice short-term solution. But we either got to get rid of the game fish so we can, you know, put tons and tons of mosquito fish in there, or we have to do something really drastic to dredge it, to whatever. But hopefully the consultant, hopefully we get a good answer from two or three consultants that give us a chance to make a decision or at least have a path forward.
Right. And yeah, I certainly wasn't disagreeing with the potential of doing that. Matter of fact, we've been talking about it for years. But what I was trying to say, and that was what you just said, Tom, was completely clear and completely understandable and completely newsworthy. At the point where we start moving forward on evaluating this process, like in your general manager's blurb in the pipeline, that's exactly what I would say. I mean, that's the kind of information I want to make sure that everybody understands and that they get it from us, as opposed to, you know, from their foursome who has an idea that maybe we're, you know, going to do something completely different.
Yes.
That was great. Thank you for putting those thoughts together and separating immediate relief from long-term fix. I think that's we have to look at it in those two different ways. And it may be a combination of things. We may end up flushing out the lake basin and taking the fish out and doing it at the same time, essentially. I think when it comes to the long-term solution, we really have to look at that. And I think that it's not necessarily, we're gonna try to fix this for the people, not only who live there, but because of our property values, it makes a difference that is fixed and that people aren't complaining about it forever and ever. And that when people drive in here, they don't see this, you know, mess. I can't emphasize enough the need for, from my perspective, the two different ways of dealing with immediate fixes and long-term solutions. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. Yeah,
there's the other part of that that fits into this, and it's interesting because Tom and I personally have been literally into the woods doing a lot of research on the CIA ditch, and I literally mean into the woods. And we've in looking at that, that, you know, that the ditch, there's so many components of this that lead towards the solution. And it's another area that I think as we go forward, we can really start to educate the folks that live here about what that ditch is. I'm sure that quite a few of them don't even know it exists, and how it relates to what happens in Laguna Joaquin. Plus, it's also a really interesting feature of the community that I'm sure a lot of people are not aware of. It's been here since 1929. Mm-hmm. If we are done there, we can move on. Any questions or comments? Richard, I see a hand again. Or maybe
yes, like you, John, and Linda, I'd like to compliment Tim on what he said. And I think that's something that maybe we need to do more often, that, you know, CSD is in a position where everybody wants something else, and you satisfy one person, you're not satisfying the other, and there's no way you can win that. You know, lay it out, these are the options, tell us what you want to do, and we can do it. But, and like, it sounds like Laguna Joaquin, there's ways to solve, and it's not that hard, but, you know, whatever way you do it, some people aren't going to be happy, so. You know, lay the responsibility on them and say, hey, what do you want? We'll do it. And I think, you know, this is the way to deal with a lot of other things too, because, you know, it's, some of these things are pretty clear. There's options to do and you can't satisfy everybody. End of comment.
Okay, should we move on? Item 8? Linda?
Yeah. Okay. The Reservoir Information and Communication Committee, half of it met on September 17th for a while. Paul and I got together and started going through some of the information that we're collecting. We're going to have another meeting on October 8th at 10 o'clock, hopefully. We can have full attendance. If that's not possible, we'll talk about, you can email me, John, and Joanne's not online. But anyway, we're making progress. It's slow because everybody is very involved in a lot of the other things that are in the forefront of what we're trying to do. But the Reservoir Information Education Committee is ultimately going to provide the community with information related to all the things that we're talking about right now, water, and the reservoirs and the CIA ditch. And so we're connected pretty closely with what's happening, especially in relation to the CIA ditch and reservoirs and basins. So that's where we are. It's going slowly. May have to end up asking for some more time, but I still believe in the importance of doing this.
Any comments? Should we move on to item 9? I assume that's a yes.
Yes.
Item 9, directors and staff comments. Tom and Paul, staff, Cindy, everybody, anybody comments?
I have one.
Well, you're not staff, you're next.
Oh, sorry. It does say directors and staff.
Tom, okay. I'm probably jumping in front of Linda, but I want to commend Amelia on the work she's done on working with Linda to improve, you know, one of our major communication devices, the pipeline. It's the format's changing, and it's always good to have change when people are looking at things because it attracts our eyes to different things. But I think the work they've done on the pipeline is really good. Amelia's done a good job. So
thank you.
That's all I have.
Paul, anything?
Nope.
Cindy?
No comments.
Do we get a small child report at this point?
No.
Believe me, you will get more sleep eventually.
I will chime in just real quick, if I may. So a lot of the information I'm providing on behalf of my department, you know, for water, sewer, drainage, reclamation, doing a lot of clean, mid-fly, et cetera, is redundant in the improvements committee meeting and onto the website. And so I try among my daily duties to update all that information consistently through Amelia. And, you know, again, I need to mirror thanks to Amelia for all the hard work she does getting all the information up, because we're kind of spinning in circles. As soon as we get done updating some bit of information, we're updating it again very shortly thereafter. So I want to thank her for that. But I do have a lot of information, and I do try to get it updated. But for the most part, it's in my improvements packets and then subsequent board packet. And then we try to get those updated on the website as well.
Okay. Linda?
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about the pipeline again and the section called living in a private community. That could have said living in a private gated community, but it would not have covered all of the types of communities that there are, because there are plenty of private communities out there like Rancho Murrieta that aren't gated. So the information that's in that section is pretty much directed toward the inside of the gate. Now, Richard and John, if you think we need to focus on some of the things that are going on the other side of the gate, happy to do that, but I think that should be in a separate section. So I'd like to entertain whatever it is that you would like to have put in regarding the other sections of the community.
Okay. I can kind of comment on that, I guess, because it's my turn. Yeah, and I think starting out, I think what Richard said was valid. I mean, even starting out being conscious of the various entities that we represent, and not that we don't do it in our daily job. I think we more than do it in our daily job, but as you communicate in general, I think it's awareness is the first part of that. Would it be nice to do features, you know, on specific problems and areas? Yes, it would. And perhaps we'll get to the point where we can do that. There was an incident, not an incident, but something that illustrates this that came out the other day. Tom and I were in the middle of this review of physical on-site review of the entire CIA ditch, and we were driving around in a big truck with one of the guys that was one of the end users, and we began to have a discussion about, for example, visibility from the median strips as you leave the post office, and how that seems to be counterintuitive, and there is a visibility problem. And it wasn't any more than that conversation. And ironically, I got home and I looked at my phone, and I had had a call from a resident who was voicing that very same concern. Now, that in itself is fine, but it's almost like, okay, in that situation, where do you go? It's a private road. It's supposed to be governed by a road maintenance agreement, which I'm not even sure is in place. And I guess it links back directly to the hotel or Rancho North or Carol Anderson, whoever owns the property. But those are the kinds of issues that kind of come up on a daily basis here. It's almost like, okay, what do you do now? Who owns it? Who's responsible for it? So, and I think that ties into what we're saying about the way we deliver information. I think, like I said, I think just for starters, awareness is the important part of that, where we're not giving information or implying favoritism to one particular area over another as we communicate. So that's all I have. Anybody else? Anything else?
Yeah, John, I have one more thing. Jeff Werblon, our chief of security, has been out for some time, and his leave is going to be extended into December now. And while I like working in security, I don't have enough time to do it all the time. So we've hired a retired annuitant from the state correctional officer system from Mule State, a sergeant from there, her name is Angie Avila, and we've hired her to work a couple days a week once she gets up to speed, managing the administrative functions of the security department. Angie lives nearby, so it's easy for her to get here, and she started yesterday afternoon and sat with me during the safety meeting that was held on by the RMA. I'm happy to say we have some support in the administrative part of security. Take a little bit of that off my back and be able to do a little bit better job of making sure our staff are being managed, and if they have questions, or the questions are being answered by a high level person from a security background. So Angie, welcome to the team. That's what I wanted to say here.
Thank you, Tom. And I just wanted to add, I was not a sergeant at Mule Creek.
What did you do there, Angie?
I was a correctional officer.
Okay. Very good.
All right, moving on. Anyone else? John, you went mute.
There we go. How's that? Am I back? So, anything else? We've moved through item 9, item 10 is adjournment. Anything else before we do that?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. See you soon.